were now armies on an unimaginably large scale, with thousands of heavily armed men. A ruler with military ambitions would mass a dense crowd of infantry, numbering in the thousands. He would marshal regiments of cavalry. No chariots in this warfare. They were an anachronism now. But there was a new weapon, the crossbow, a Chinese invention. Now, this was a formidable weapon, vastly superior to the standard bow, a weapon capable of propelling an arrow faster and more powerfully than any conventional bow known. This means a number of things. For example, it means that fighting armies can stand off at a greater distance and still fight each other. But even more importantly, and this was a major factor in a landscape where there were many cities all fortified, the crossbow had greater range and accuracy and was a very useful weapon for people who were defending a city under siege from a large army, because by using the crossbow they could keep the attackers at a distance. The Chang'e, or Warring States period, lasted for over two centuries, 458 to 221 BC. Military campaigns never ceased. It must have been a very traumatic time to live. Small states frantically built defensive walls around their territories at massive expense to protect themselves. But it was all to no avail. By 300 BC, only four major states survived: Qin, Shao, Han, and Chu. In 260 BC, after 40 years of almost continual warfare, the ruler of Qin defeated his greatest rival, Shao, and is said to have slaughtered some 400,000 prisoners in the process. An exaggerated number? Maybe, but I think we should say that the casualties of these wars were enormous. The successor to this ruler completed the task that had been the objective, maybe unspoken, of rulers for centuries. He completed the conquest of all his rivals. And in 221 BC, this remarkable, ruthless, and cruel man proclaimed himself Qin Shi Huangdui, first emperor of a united China. China, for the first time, was an entity, a political, a social, and an economic entity. Shi Huangdui came to power as a result of his military skills. He was a formidable warrior with a mighty army. But, unlike a lot of conquerors, he was also an expert administrative reformer. His reforms were ruthless, befitting a man of ruthless ambition. He broke with the tradition of allowing conquered lords to maintain their lands and divided China into provinces of equal size, or approximately equal size, whose governors only answered to the emperor. He went as far as to order all local histories of earlier times destroyed as part of creating an imperial government. He reinvented history, which is something we'll find happening, for example, with the Aztecs of Mexico. Like every other great empire builder, Shi Huangdi was concerned with efficient communications. He built five major trunk roads of rammed earth from his capital at Xianyang, the longest to the southwest, extending over 4,500 miles. Shi Huangdi is also famous for building a great wall in the north to fence off nomads from the arid steppes to the north. This rammed earth fortification, not the wall seen by tourists today, extended over 3,000 miles from the boundaries of Korea to the arid Ordos Desert in the west.